At the end of the message, we're going to be in Romans 5. So if you find that on your way to Galatians, you could stick a marker there or something. So Galatians chapter 2, what we're going to look at today is justified by what? Where does justification come from? What is justification? And what's going on here is that we are continuing the head-on collision between Peter and Paul. We saw that a couple of weeks where Peter makes some choices and Paul says, whoa, 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 I understand you're Peter, I understand you're an apostle, I understand you're a leader of the church, but what's happening here isn't what's right. And so we see head-on collision with two of the most dominant figures in the New Testament. That collision starts in verse 11 and goes through verse 13. Let's read those. We'll review what happened. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. So Paul is standing up to Peter, to his face, because he was to be blamed. He was at fault. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So what's going on? Peter is spending time with the Gentiles, eating with the Gentiles, hanging out with the Gentiles, ministering to the Gentiles, discipling the Gentiles. That's what's going on. The verse goes on, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So he literally, broke those words down. I won't preach the same message again. But what we see is that he separated himself from these Gentiles, from these Gentile Christians. And the word picture paints this picture that they were basically the enemy at this point. He walled them off. He walled himself off from them, the very people that he was just spending time with. And he did this when who came? His religious friends come and he's like, oh no, these people might think I'm not what I should be. And he separates himself from these Gentiles. Then verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And that word means hypocrisy. So Peter is being a hypocrite, and he brings a bunch of these people, these Jews that were there ministering to the Gentiles with him, he brings them with him, and they separate. And we talked about those people. Poor Gentile Christians, what are they thinking? What's going on in their minds? Well, let's get into our text today in a minute, and we'll see the story unplay more, but that's the background. Paul called Peter out for being a hypocrite, and he is going to continue with the same details over the next few verses. Just three verses today. Should be a short message. I know that makes you happy. Yay, short message. I say that a lot, but it hasn't been happening. The main thought he will be dealing with is justification. Everybody heard of the word justification before? Big word. Very important word. And we'll break that down today. Justification means simply to be declared righteous. Easy definition for justification, to be declared righteous. Understand when you hear the word justification, as we go through this text today, these verses today, that this is the definition, to be declared righteous. It is the free and gracious act by which God declares a sinner right with himself. So that's a little longer definition for you. It's God saying, you are right with me. You are declared righteous. To be declared righteous, I want you to think about, or you might be thinking, even though you probably already know, what am I guilty of that I need to be declared innocent? Does that thought process make sense? Like, if you're going to be declared innocent, you were probably guilty before. Or if you're going to be declared righteous, well, what am I being declared righteous of? What am I innocent of? Good question. We are guilty of being sinners, for all have sinned. Our sin leaves us standing guilty before the ultimate judge. apart from justification, guess what? Declared guilty. Sinners, hopeless, helpless, dead in our trespasses and sins. Have you noticed this theme going on in Galatians, the first two chapters? I feel like I'm saying the same thing every week up here. But that's where Galatians has taken us, and it's so important that there's just truth, abounding with truths that will help us with our life. So our sin leaves us standing guilty, for the wages of sin is death. So we are guilty, we are facing a sentence apart from justification. Everyone is guilty. The whole world is declared guilty. Read the first three chapters of Romans if you want a better picture of that. So through the ages, the question has been, how can I get to God? There's a search for God, for a God. Even in the deepest, darkest holes of Africa, they are trying to worship something. They're building statues. They're building idols. They're trying to have this relationship with a God, with a form of some type of God. That's in our conscience. Romans 1 through 3 talks about that too, if you want to read that. So, through the ages, the question has been, how can I get to God? How can I be forgiven? How can I be declared righteous of this sentence? There's an understanding that we are guilty, that we are sinners, that we need some way to have a right standing with God. What can I do? What can be done? How can I avoid this penalty for my sin? How can I be right with God? I mean, look around, survey the world, read history books. You can see people trying to earn justification, trying to earn that right standing with God. And we've heard, if my good outweighs my bad, people are searching to try to have their morality outweigh their sins to try to get to God. What is justification? How do we become justified? Job 25:4, this is Old Testament. How can a man be justified with God? That's a long time ago that verse was written down. It's nothing new. Questions of justification. How can I be right with God? What is the solution? The good news is there is a solution. Wouldn't it be depressing if we came to church and I told you how dirty, rotten we all are and we're hopeless and then we go home? I wouldn't want to come back. We are all guilty. We all have a sin problem, but there is a solution for that sin problem. Even better than the fact that there's a solution, we have access to the solution. And we're going to take a look at these three verses at the text for some answers. Let's read Galatians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Do you see what's going on there? Okay. Verse 15. We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not, I lost my spot, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making it so plain to us. Thank you for the fact that you have provided a propitiation for us, a satisfactory payment to meet the just demands of a holy God. I thank you that we can be justified through that propitiation. Thank you that we can stand right before you one day. Please give us understanding as we look at your word. Please challenge us. Please convict us. Please mold us to what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So verse 14, let's get right into the text here. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So, there was behavior, there was some ideology going on that was not according to the truth of the gospel. And that's a problem. And Paul's been very clear on explaining, you know, false gospels. False gospels aren't a gospel at all because there's no good news there. Paul's been very clear to explain all this. And here's some behaviors going on that's undermining, that's causing question to this true gospel. The truth of the gospel is referring to the way to be justified. And Paul's going to define those terms. We are going to get some insight into what justification is not. So we'll see what justification is, but first I want us to be clear on what justification is not. In verse 14, Paul says that they walked not uprightly. That's a word picture being painted. It comes from a compound Greek word, two Greek words put together, orthopodeo. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Orthopedics? So, what do you think's going on here? It means straight foot. To walk straight. They were not walking in a straight path toward the truth of the gospel. So they were veering from the truth of the gospel, adding stuff to the gospel, specifically adding works to the gospel. And what was happening is that they were confusing people. And Paul's, this head-on collision is going on. He says, that's a problem when you're confusing people to the truth of the gospel. Paul addresses the issue. The second half of verse 14. I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So what's being said here? You are telling, either by word or by actions. Remember, he separated from the Gentiles when his religious Jewish Judaizer friends came. He separated from the Gentiles. So either by word or actions, you are telling the Gentiles that they have to act like Jews to be justified. Your breath smells like bacon bits. Thanks, Davey, for that one. He's telling, Paul's talking to Peter, hey, you're doing all this stuff the Gentiles do until your friends come and then you separate. I can still smell the ham on your breath. And you're separating from them. Remember verses 11 through 13? He was with them. He was hanging out with them. Then the Judaizers come, shoop, he's out. We have a problem here, Peter, that needs to be fixed. And Paul is trying to address that problem. You are living in hypocrisy, not walking according to the truth of the gospel. And you are bringing other Jews with you. And that's a problem. Because the gospel, the truth of the gospel, is trying to be advanced throughout the world. Breaking free from just the Jews, breaking out to the Gentiles. And I'm glad it broke out. I'm glad someone told me about Jesus. I'm glad I found out how to be justified. But this is the beginning of it, where there is some roadblock, some veering from the truth of the gospel. And I'm glad Paul is setting it straight right here. It worked out well down the road for all of us. So let's continue. Verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Does that sound strange to anyone? It almost sounds like a little puffed up to me. So it's interesting wording. It sounds kind of harsh. But let's paint the whole picture between verse 15 and 16 because it makes sense. He's saying, we are Jews. That sounds elevated a little bit. They are sinners of the Gentiles. That sounds like they're being put down here. So what's being said? Sinners of the Gentiles. That's referring to the legal sense that the Gentiles did not have the law to guide them in right living and pleasing God. Because think about the history of the nation of Israel. You know, called out, God's dealing with them specifically, specially. The Ten Commandments are given to them, right? Think back Old Testament history. So they view themselves as God's special people, which they are. But that carries into the legal sense is, hey, you know, we are Jews. We have God's truth has been revealed to us. The commandments were given to us. We have this special order of rules by which we live by. And the Gentiles, they don't have that. That's not going on for them. God hasn't been dealing with them in that way. So what's going on here? He's telling Peter, we are Jews. The works of the law couldn't even justify us. That's the picture that he's painting here. And as we get into verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So they have, the Jews had the law. They're Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. He's saying, hey, we have all this stuff. We have roots. We have deep roots in the law, in these traditions. But guess what? All that stuff can't even justify us. That stuff cannot give us a right standing with God. That stuff we've been holding on so tight to. There's more. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, we have believed in Jesus Christ. So here is what justification is not. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, justification is not accomplished by the works of the law. Never, ever, ever can be. Following a set of rules and traditions will never, ever, ever, ever save you. If it could, why would Jesus have had to die? Keeping those rules and traditions will never leave you justified. No amount of law keeping can make a person righteous. You can be a moral person, an outstanding citizen, but apart from Christ, you're still not justified. You're still not righteous. We have a sinful nature. No amount of good works can change that. And think about that, because that's the root of the problem. Our sin nature passed down to us from Adam. That's the root of the problem. Not necessarily our behavior, if our good outweighs our bad. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So doing good works can't save us. How then can we be declared righteous? How can we be justified? Only by faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Simple message. All the days of doing what can I do to earn God's favor, that can never get us God's favor. It's Jesus Christ only putting our faith and trust in Him. Let's keep reading in verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Do you see the emphasis on justified in that verse? It is all over in there. There's what it isn't, and there's what it is. It's not by works, it's only by Christ. Even Peter and Paul had to believe in Jesus Christ to be justified. Have you thought about that? I mean, I know it's such a simple thought. Like, yes, everyone who gets saved has to believe in Jesus Christ. But think back to Peter and Paul, all that they accomplished for Christ, all that they accomplished isn't what saved them, isn't what made them righteous, isn't what justified them. What justified them was their faith in Jesus Christ. So that thought just smacked me yesterday. Like, even Peter and Paul had to believe in Christ to save them. Justification comes by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's it. Period. He paid for our sins on the cross. He lived that perfect sinless life. He died on the cross, shedding His blood to be the payment of our sins. He rose again from the dead, defeating that death, defeating sin, defeating hell. Christ did all that so that we could be justified. We don't have to earn it. Good thing, because we can't earn it. It's impossible. Titus 3:5 through 7. I can read that for you, or you can turn there. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, our justification, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's where justification comes from that faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord, supreme ruler of our lives, as our Savior, the one who paid for our sins. That faith in Him and His finished work on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, justification. The stuff that all of our good works, all our righteousnesses can't stack up to do, Jesus Christ finished it for us. When you call upon the Lord as your Savior, you are justified, you are declared righteous. So justified by what? By faith, by Jesus Christ. And with that justification comes some wonderful blessings. Some stuff that will leave us standing in awe and thankfulness to our God. And I want to flip back to Romans 5, which I told you about, to finish up the message with what's going on here. The passage starts out talking about justification. So if we have been justified, if we have been declared righteous, what does that mean for us? Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. The only way to be justified. We have blessing number one, peace with God. Through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. The source of our justification gives us peace with God. Remember we started out the message about 10 minutes ago with the fact that we're sinners and we have a problem. We can't get to God on our own, and how depressing it would be if we stayed there. Well, if we believed in Christ as our Lord and Savior, guess what He gives us? Peace with God. That wall of separation from our sins, His forgiveness breaks that down. And we have a right relationship, we have a right standing with God through that justification through Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Justification gives us access to God. Jesus Christ gives us that access to God. And you say, I know that. I've heard that since I was 3. I'm happy about it, but tell me something I don't know. Think of the Jews, how wonderful this access to God would have been. Think of the Holy of Holies. There was a veil separating it that only the high priest could go to once a year. What happened when Jesus died? What happened to that veil?
It was ripped.
Access through the ultimate high priest, Jesus Christ. Our justification gives us access to God through Christ. I have a little goosebumps on my head right now. We're talking Creator God of the universe. We have access to. And you probably use that access daily when you go to Him, when you talk to Him. We can communicate with God. His justification offers access to God. As we keep reading, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have a hope of God's glory. We have a hope of being with God. And that hope, we think about hope as, what is it to us? I hope I get a new bike for Christmas. Day after Christmas, I don't have a new bike. That's a hope. We're wishing for something. This hope is a done deal. It's not wishing that we can have the glory of God, that we can. It's not that wish. It's a certainty. It's done. Our justification through faith in Christ guarantees that. We have that hope that we can take to the bank. Verse number 3. And not only so, this is where it gets a little confusing. We glory in tribulations also. Wait a minute. Tribulations aren't fun. We know that. So how can we find any joy, any glory, any good stuff from a tribulation? Because it's dark times, dark days. You're in the middle of it and feeling like you can't breathe. How can we glory? How does justification do that for us? Well, Jesus Christ helps us through that. And you say, oh yeah, you can say that from up there. Well, He does. There's a process here that He's going to show to us of how we can glory in tribulations, how we can joy, how we can rejoice in tribulations. Because what the idea is, what the picture here of tribulations is, of being pressed, of being squeezed. I've been going through that for a while now, that squeezing part of it, where the oxygen is almost gone. It happens. So how in the world can we joy? Can we rejoice in that? Well, here's the process. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. So there's a process going on through the time when you're being squeezed. And to me, being in the moment of this, I'm starting to understand it, but it still hurts while I'm there. At basketball practice before Christmas break, something happened that helps me to understand this. We were getting ready to play a team who likes to press, which that means they guard you full court from the time you touch the ball till you get to the other end. They don't want you to have the ball. They are pressing you. Normally, teams will wait till you get to half court and then start bothering you. So this team, they're a run and jump team. You guys don't care about those terms, but I'm going to tell you anyways. They're pressing you, trapping you. When you get the ball, what kids usually will do, young kids, they get the ball, two people are running at them, waving, screaming. They panic and they'll throw the ball out of bounds because the pressing is too much for them. And that's why you press, so you can get more offensive possessions. What we did before we played this team, basketball games are 5-on-5. We put 15 on 5. 15 defenders on the court against 5 guys trying to score. You say, that's not fair. It's not fair. It's really hard. But guess what? When you can catch the ball and have 5 guys guarding you, and you can finally pass it to a person. And then that person has five guys. And as a team, you five can work together and you can eventually score on 15 defenders. What happens when you only have one guy guarding you? Piece of cake. That's an explanation of these words, of what's happening here. So let's read it again with that illustration in mind. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. So the pressing has come, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Patience also refers to endurance. So man, those hard times are coming. You're getting bombarded. You're getting pressed by multiple defenders. You realize after a while, I can do this. I don't have to panic. I don't have to throw the ball out of bounds or start crying. I don't have to panic when this comes. I can do this. Christ can help me through this. So you start gaining this patience, this endurance. Then what happens? What comes after that? Experience. So this patience, to be patient, to wait till something's there, then gives you experience, proven character. We found a lot out in that drill. We found out what five guys we wanted on the court. Why? They could take care of the ball. They're the ones who would let that patience develop and then that experience develop. And then that patience, that experience develops hope. What's that hope? We can do this. We can get through this. And then you get out of that press. You move on in life. You get to where those trials are coming again. Guess what happens? You have that hope that I've been here before. I've gone through this. I've done this. And all that pressing, all that pressure helps you. The process helps you to have that hope that Christ can get you through this. I couldn't imagine going through that pressing time, the pressure time, the real life stuff, not the basketball stuff. I couldn't imagine enduring it without Christ. Without that justification, that peace, that hope that's there. What do you do if you don't have that? I'm thankful for these blessings that justification brings. Then we keep reading on. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'm so thankful for that love that's shed abroad, that overflowing, overspilling love that God gives to us through His Holy Spirit. Because especially in those pressing times, you need that love, the only love that God can offer, that type of love, you need that. And it's so wonderful to have that and to literally feel God's love on your life. I don't know how you do it without it. Blessings brought by justification. Keep reading. Verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die at peradventure. For a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So, we're given the Holy Ghost that was in there. We are saved from God's wrath, for the wages of sin is death. Saved from God's wrath. And this is a response of a righteous God towards sin. That's what the wrath is referring to. We're saved from that stuff, being justified. I'll take that blessing all day long, to be saved from God's wrath. And then verse 11, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That joy, rejoice in the Lord always. How can we do that? God gives us that ability through being justified in His Son. If we've been justified, no matter how dark our day, how much we're being squeezed or pressed, guess what? We're still justified. We can find joy in that. So a couple of questions. Have you been justified? Truly justified? Only trusting in Christ for that justification. No works involved, only Christ. Have you been justified? Are you enjoying the blessings that justification brings? Have you been praising God for them as you should? Think of all that good stuff we just talked about. Do we praise God for that? Do we let our joy come from that stuff instead of dwelling on the pressing part of it, the stuff that's getting us? And it's interesting to speak on this stuff when you're going through it or coming out of it. It's so, so real. Because there's the temptations to stay in your bed all day and woe is me. You know, my life stinks so much. And we can overlook the blessings. We can overlook the process that God's taking us through. We can overlook the opportunities to help other people who have gone through it, or who are in the middle of it, or who will go through what we're going through. Justified by what? We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a wonderful list of blessings that come with that justification. Let's praise God for the wonderful blessings that He has given to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for these three small verses that contain so much truth. Thank You for the way that You designed our justification, the way that You set up for us to be right with You. Thank You for giving us the perfect gift, even though it cost You Your Son and all that He went through. I thank You for the death of Christ. I thank You for His resurrection. Thank You for the free gift, the justification that You offer to us. Please help us to love You like we should, to share the message with others, and to praise You for all the wonderful works that You've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.